This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
And hello, Hearts of Oak. It's great to have a guest back with us, David Clues from Unity News Network. David, thank you so much for your time once again.
Peter, thanks for having me on, and always a pleasure to hear those dull British tones from Northern Ireland. I never say those Irish tones. I bet you get that all the time, don't you, Peter? But I know the difference.
We do. Whenever I have David Vance on, we could talk for hours with two Northern Irish accents.
I know. But I know. Like, that's, people say, oh, those, that Irish boy. Well, there's been a bit of dispute over that for the last 100 years, you know, but we won't go into that too much.
There has been. We'll not go to war over it. That's been done and dusted, possibly, maybe. So we'll not try it again.
100 years this year, isn't it, of Northern Ireland?
It is. 1921 it is. But
you're not allowed to celebrate that, though, Peter. You should be ashamed of it. You know, the trouble you've caused, you people over there, the partition, etc. That has to be the rhetoric. We aren't allowed to celebrate anything anymore. You know, it's all shameful.
Goodness, the issues that Northern Ireland cause are nothing in relation to the issues that we have coming down the tube. But anyway, that's a whole other discussion.
But I know it is, but I think it's always, you know, it's, again, the thing about Northern Ireland is a bit like everything else. It's very complex.
Yeah.
Whereas the mainstream media like to portray it as a really simple, and it's not. It's such a complex country with so many different issues. A bit like any problems around the world, whether it be the Middle Eastern situations, like that. The media just love good people, bad people, and it's never like that. And again, that's just transposed into everything now, that the mainstream media have the easiest narrative possible on everything, and the vast majority of, dare I say, sheeple just go along with the media agenda.
That's very true. And when you begin to discuss where Northern Ireland fits in the historical issues in the United Kingdom, people probably come to the conclusion, well, we're probably better off without you, so clear off. So
that's increasingly in with Scotland as well, and Wales, and just this fracturing of, and the term I have coined and copyrighted for this, Peter, is the Lebanonization of society. And you know, I remember the 80s, people had different points of views, but it was a reasonably united country, whereas, you know, everything's just broken down. Nobody knows who's responsible for anything anymore. Nobody really knows who's in charge, because you've got a member of this parliament, a member of that parliament, a county councillor. Well, we used to even have European. It's all just by design to stop accountability and, again, to overall just suppress humanity.
No, completely. And I sometimes get grief because of my criticism of Scotland, because when you have Nicola Sturgeon there, it is there's nothing you can do but criticize those north of the border for electing someone like that and for the chaos she's causing. Mm-hmm. So I do sometimes piss off our Scottish viewers. So apologies.
No, not at all. And the reality is, sadly, well, I think it's important to remember, one, the SNP win around 1 million votes out of an electorate of 4.2 million. Yeah. So, you know, from a democratic perspective, that is not an overwhelming mandate. Mm. But the other issue as well up north is that the anti sort of Sturgeon. I mean, I spoiled my ballot at the last election. I just think devolution has been an absolute disaster for Scotland. I think devolution's been a disaster across the UK. And you see Drakeford now, he's like a full-on Welsh nationalist. It's just amateur hour in these parliaments. Look, we don't even have good politicians in Westminster. What chance do we have of getting good politicians in these third-rate assembly rooms?
Completely. You look at the front benches in Westminster and you despair at what's sitting on those benches, and you think, if that's the hope of the country, then we are screwed. So,
we are. Maybe we'll talk in a wee bit more detail about this vax passport vote in Wales, just the utter corruption behind that. Do you want to talk about that now, or do you want to talk about anything else?
Let me just bring up where people can find you first. Okay, sure. So, Unity News should be your main source of news. Unitynewsnetwork.co.uk is the website, at Unity News Net, and also on, if you just go on DLive, then you can find, so dlive.tv/ I've typed it wrong. Unity News Network. Unity News Network. You can find, and it's
That's correct on DLive. Unity
is
News.
It Unity?
Just Unity News. No, okay. Two news is on there. But yeah, just if the best place to go for the first instance is on Twitter. We're also on Telegram as well, and I would like to think people maybe have an idea. They've seen some of our stuff, and they can follow us. And yeah, Twitter's a good place to get us. Also, Telegram, I think, is a great place just now to get information.
I think Telegram is people's go-to now, where you get your news directly, and you sit and you just go through some of those news feeds. So if people haven't added Uni News, then do that on Telegram, and it will enrich your news experience, and you'll not have the BS that you're getting elsewhere. Yeah. Can I just touch on Uni News? We're going to discuss the whole COVID passports, where we are. I've had so many conversations with individuals wondering what they should do. And my line is, well, stick to what you believe is right. You can't have me tell you, you can't have the media tell you. You decide what is right and you stick with that and hold out on any pressure. So we'll go into that, obviously, the vote in Wales. And then I've seen you talking about your website, nomorelockdowns.uk. So I want to go into that and explain to people what they'll see on that. And maybe we'll talk more generally about Unity News and what's happening. And then maybe we'll say bye-bye to YouTube and Facebook, and sure, we'll go over and continue the conversation. And then you can say whatever you want, which I'm actually wanting you to say. So,
look forward to that. And I think it's interesting. It just shows you how far, as a society, we've fallen in 3 years, that how bad the censorship is now, that you can't say what you want. Because, you know, like with Unity News Network, all we are doing is filling a void of how the news probably was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like providing a different alternative, providing a different story. That used to happen on the mainstream media. It doesn't happen anymore. The mainstream media is totally, you know, globalist. One agenda, everything's the same. There's no critical thinking allowed whatsoever. And I talk about this a lot on the shows. I remember, you know, one of your founders at Hearts of Oak used to get on Newsnight. He used to get on Question Time, and, you know, people might not have liked him. They might not have agreed with him, but, you know, it was an opinion. Yeah. And controversial figures, people were there. They were allowed to point. And as I said, that was actually created a healthier society because people didn't feel marginalized. But now you look at it, you know, anybody who says anything remotely controversial, and it mostly is on the right, it's now eating them on the left as well, which is a delicious irony, because they started it, so it'll finish them. But it's everywhere, Peter.
It is. I had a guest on, Diana West, and she came on. She's obviously based in the States and came on to talk about what was happening in America of the catastrophe that's happening under Biden, and also vaccine passports, all the rollout. And I said, oh, by the way, we're going to be on YouTube and Facebook, so there may be restrictions. And she looked at me before we went live and she said, well, what can I say? That's a good question. So we did half and half, and then continued second half elsewhere. So it's always available there. And I know you have focused on DLive, but can I just ask a little bit about Uni News? What's kind of, I think you were on probably a few months ago. Just give us an update, what you've been doing, kind of a general, before we go and touch on some of the COVID mandate passport issues.
We've just been working really, really hard. We also founded the No More Lockdowns campaign as a subset of UNN, just so that I could get out and do some work and do some more activist campaigning. We've given out loads of leaflets, loads of posters and everything. So, you know, rather than just doing it all through UNN, we tried to separate the two. Obviously, the two are inextricably linked with everything. But, you know, we've not only just provided it from a news side, but also provided people with tools and resources, like the Big Yellow Boards campaign. And we helped get a lot of them out. So it's an information war that we're fighting. And then with UNN, we still do our shows. We've had some brilliant interviews recently as well. And it's just communicating with people and having a conversation. That's all it really is. Because again, this is the problem with modern media: is you sit down and you are told what to think. You are told this is the truth. This is what's happening, and it's so patronizing. Like, we're the BBC, we're better educated than you. You believe us. And sometimes people in alt media are a wee bit guilty of repeating that. Like, look, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is exactly what's going on. This is like, so whereas we just try and straddle, and just obviously we provide very different opinions, but at the end of the day, it's still all about people making up their own minds. It's still all about individuals and families deciding what's right for them.
So why did you get kicked off originally? Because obviously, how long has Uni News been going for?
Well, we've been going over 3.5 years now. And, you know, we'd built a very successful YouTube channel, 50,000 subs. It was medical misinformation. We got booted at the same time as UK Column. So it was done. YouTube would have received a nod and a wink to get that done. So, I mean, it is a big blow, but thankfully, we've been going 3.5 years. We've built up our audience, and as you've been going for a while as well, and managed to ride that out. The problem is, if someone was to set up an alt media site now or try and do something, it's just impossible. You just couldn't do it. You just couldn't do it now because you've been nobbled at the ankles. It's terrible, you know. So we were just lucky to be early.
Yeah. Let's touch on what's happening in Wales, because what's happening in Wales is a sign of what the rest of us are facing. And then we'll continue off YouTube and Facebook and go into no more lockdown, to what people can find on that in your work. So, the whole thing in Wales seemed as though it was farcical, but it doesn't add up. And no, it seems as though something darker lay behind it. Do you want to just say what exactly happened in case our viewers don't know?
Normally, I don't blow my own trumpet. Well, not in a literal way, but you know, I have to on this, because I was actually 100% right. As soon as I saw this happen, I said, "No, this is dodgy. That this is rigged." The reason being, I kind of know how these things work. I said at the time that the Tory member of the Senate could have done it over the phone. So what happened was, the vote was passed in the Welsh Parliament by 20.
And what was the vote exactly?
The vote, this was a vote on vaccine passports, to introduce vax passports. So the vote was passed by 28 to 27. The reason it was passed 28 to 27 was Gareth Davis, who is a 33-year-old member of the Senate as a Conservative, said that he was unable to access Zoom in order to cast his vote. If he had cast his vote, it would have been 28-28. The deciding vote would have lain with the Speaker of the Senate, and the Speaker of the Senate would have voted against it, or because they are not political.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have gone through. So Gareth Davis was unable to access because of Zoom. Now, I said at the very start, that stank. It just wasn't right, because, okay, so the first way you could look at it is, that's the contempt he treats his constituents with, that he just buggered off to the Tory conference and didn't have it already. But it has now since transpired that he was given the opportunity to do it over the phone. And he didn't take that opportunity up. Now, the Tory group could have walked out, or they could have raised a standing order and said, look, this is incompetent. They could have said, this is an extraordinary vote. So to just say that he had tech issues and couldn't attend is a lie. My opinion is, he's been told not to do it, to be the fall guy, because they want to introduce vax passports in England. Yep. They've already been done in Scotland. They had to go through in Wales to allow them to go through in England. So it's Banana Republic stuff. The reason you know it is because both the Tories and the Plaid Cymru as well have accepted the result of the vote. So that they voted against it, but they wanted it to happen. This is what people need to get into their heads, that it's all just a scam. It's just a con.
No, as soon as I saw that they weren't going to raise an objection after it happened, I thought, well, why the hell not? If something has gone wrong, then surely you'd want to correct that mistake. But they're complaining there's been a mistake, but there are no rush to fix it. So very strange.
And what, as I say, there seems to be like this sort of, and I know I'm not including you in this, Peter, at all, but amongst a lot of people, there's this naivety that, well, that was just incompetence.
Yeah.
No, it's not. And this isn't being overly conspiratorial like the MSM would say. This is deliberate gaslighting. He deliberately didn't vote to allow that to go through. So yeah. this is like, it's pure corruption. And in fairness, Wales Online, who aren't the greatest, but they've at least been pursuing this and highlighting that this guy is a liar.
Yeah.
And exposing that fact. But whether anything will happen about it, I'm not sure. It's just abysmal. But again, this is what the media and the wider thing rely on, is guys like you and me actually digging into this. Like, most people just believe the official narrative. Yep. Oh, there was a technical glitch. I never managed to vote. These things happen. No. That's not how it works. Mm. If you've ever been in a vote or seen it, you realize that. So therefore, the only conclusion is that it was deliberate and done on purpose.
I think the failure of the public is that they accept incompetence. And I mean, they are lightweights. Many of our politicians are lightweights compared to what we have had in generations previously, but they're still smart individuals. They understand what's happening. So to write off so much of what's happening as incompetence is...
There is definitely incompetence at a massive level as well. Mm. Like I don't believe everything is planned, everything is set to an agenda. You know, there is incompetence, but there are people at the very top pulling the strings here. There's something really, really, really dodgy about this. And the guy's statements after it is everyone knows this is a dodgy vote.
Yeah.
What are they going to do about it? And again, yeah, one of my friends, Anthony Weber, who I work with, who voted anybody on a manifesto pledge to introduce the biggest change to everyday people's lives? So this is not a democracy anymore. It just isn't.
Well, it sounds more New South Wales than Wales. So
Exactly.
Do you want to, let's touch on no more lockdowns, why you've set that up, what that is for. Then, as I said, we'll leave YouTube and Facebook behind and we'll continue conversation. Sure. So yeah, let us know what it is. What will people find if they go on it?
If people go to nomorelockdowns.uk, it's just a resource centre, really, in a way that I can keep in touch with people. You know, I'll show you the latest thing that we're actually doing. We've got these posters printed out, and we're going to be distributing these, so we do not discriminate against any customer based on sex, gender, age, race, creed, age, whether they've received the jab or not. So it's things like that. So it's really just to make sure people have good tools to go out and campaign. We'll talk about the leaflets that we're actually getting produced as well, when we go on to the next segment. So it is just more a campaign resource. So if they go to the website, they can sign up as a supporter. It means they get all the emails, and that's where I tend to keep people up to date, is via email of everything that's going on. So it is important they go to nomorelockdowns.uk and sign up as a supporter.
You've also done stuff on for parents regarding
vaccination
being rolled out in schools. You've done cards and things like that. Do you want to let us know
We'll talk about them in a wee bit if you want.
Yep, let's do that.
On the safe side.
You never know where the line is often. No, you cross it far too easily.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so on that, I think we will say bye to YouTube and Facebook. I would obviously encourage you to go on uninewsnetwork.co.uk every evening at 8 o'clock. So if you really don't want a Hearts of Oak guest on a Monday or Thursday, then head over to Unity News Network. Take your pick on which one you prefer.
It is interesting though, Peter. So a lot of people do come to the channel and say, oh, I've just watched so-and-so on Hearts of Oak. Mm. So like I keep saying this is, you know, sometimes in alt media, there's a bit like two bald men fighting for a comb. It doesn't need to be that way. There's so much room out there. There is so much potential for everyone in this sphere. And, you know, I'm always very supportive of anybody that's an independent content creator, because anything that just chips away at these these behemoths as a start.
Exactly. The more the better. And it's actually more fun working with other groups and individuals instead of just plotting something by yourself. So it makes it much more of a community and alliance and something bigger. And it is something that has to be bigger. Unless people work together, we're not going to achieve anything.
Exactly. Exactly.
So goodbye, YouTube. Goodbye, Facebook. If you do want to continue this conversation and find out what dodgy things David Clues may say, then do continue on Rumble, on where else, on the website, on DLive, on VK, on, and actually it's a pre-record, also on BitChute and Gab, and also brand YouTube. So we'll see you on the other side.
Cheers.
Right, we're back again. So tell us more. You've obviously done not only the cards for the schools, I've seen a lot of the signs that people have held
and
up.
These as well.
So those are the cards that people can get on No More Lockdowns or Unity News Network?
Well, just Unity. They can buy them on the shop, or they can send us an email and we'll get them out to them. I mean, we must have given out about 50,000 of these, a mix of bought and free. So declaration against discrimination. I'm not allowed to be tested or vaccinated. My parents have not given permission for this. I'm not allowed to be discriminated against. So, you know, again, this is the disgrace of it all, that the government brought in what's called Gillick competence for jabbing of children aged 12 to 15. Although, from what I can read and hear, the uptake has been minuscule of 12 to 15-year-olds who have actually taken the jab. So that's very encouraging from one perspective.
For one, we got a form back for our older boy, and it is a... you sign if you want it to happen. And it says, if you do not, then please write your reasons on the back. And I'm thinking, disgusting. Screw you. Why do I have to give reasons? I'm a parent. Yeah. I have every right to say no. And I don't have to explain. So they want to go deeper and delve into your psyche. Kind of thinking, piss off.
What age is your boy?
12.
12, yeah. And again, this is the whole thing, the Conservative Party, you know, talking about, this is them saying the state decides what is right for your kids. Now, I'm not like an unadulterated Thatcherite, but this, like, you know, she would be turning in her grave. Decent Tories would be appalled at the Conservative Party deciding that the state is deciding what's right for a child at 12 years old. It's despicable. It really, but it's part of the whole agenda. It's the same, like, they're wanting 12-year-old kids to be able to go and take puberty blockers. It's just, it's satanic. It's sick. These people are degenerates of the highest order.
No, completely. But yeah, it's we haven't had a concerted government for quite a while.
And no.
It's looking at the Tory conference, I didn't actually look at it, but listening to snippets of it, I think, seriously, is that what we have become? Yeah, with Carrie actually ruling the roost and talking to all the fringe LGBT groups and saying this is what it's about, you're screwing people's jobs over. I mean, people's sexuality really can go at the side at the moment. Let's talk about whether people have a roof over their heads and can feed their kids.
I mean, also the scenes of them, like Michael Gove dancing with Tom Tugano. Liz Truss was at the LGBT event, and there was two guys gyrating, dancing about in jock straps. This is Fall of Rome stuff you're witnessing. It really, really is. And, you know, this is why, I mean, I as a lifelong Tory, as a boy and growing up, I despise the Conservative Party because they are the biggest, like, and this isn't pro-Labour, but at least with Labour, you kind of know what you're getting. The Tory party are a con act, right? All they do is exist to preserve the wealth and status of the elites. And at the same time, they throw the people morsels of bread. And because Labour are just so horrendous, they're happy to take these morsels of bread. Like Boris saying, I mean, we need to do something about immigration. Yeah, okay, Boris, sure. You know, it is. And then you've got all these hysterical people now on Twitter, oh, I'm pretty fascist. And I mean, the Tory party are just so extreme. No, they are not. The Tory party are a centre-left, Blairite, globalist rump. You know, that's what they are.
And people forget the Tories have been in power for 11 years and really have done very little. All the issues that we face really in our society are under a Conservative government. Correct. And people seem to forget that very easily.
Correct. And the biggest problem we have, though, is it's the sort of the Tory shires, the blue areas, life's fine. You know, they've their house prices are at record highs, the stock market are at record highs. You know, they've not experienced the real pain that so many have faced. Whereas if you go to cities, you go to other areas, society's not collapsing, it's not, but it's getting a lot worse for a lot of people.
Mm. Well, it's getting worse for Tory MPs because they're finding it very difficult to live on their 82,000, aren't they?
I mean, that really does just kind of sum up how, I mean, we looked this up yesterday. He comes out with £4,636 after tax, right? £4,636. Now, if you lived in central London, yeah, that wouldn't actually get you a huge amount. Mm. But these guys get free accommodation in central London. Yeah. They get their expenses paid. They get their second home paid for. So that's his basic spending money. And he's saying he can't live on £4,636 a month. Plus you get all your transport paid for you as well. That just shows you how disgustingly out of touch. And the comparison he used was, well, a GP earns £100,000 now. I'm not here to defend GPs, especially with everything that's going on, but to be a GP, you have to spend like 5-6 years studying for it. You also have to have a certain level of intelligence, and then you have to work and do a huge amount. You just get elected to become an MP. So they're disgusting. I mean, there is an argument that you should pay MPs more, and I'm happy to have that argument, but you'd only need to have maybe 200 MPs instead of 659, and then you'd have to get rid of all the other devolved governments. So, yeah, I mean, maybe we could have MPs and pay them more, but you'd have to have much less and a higher quality of MP as well.
Yeah, not completely. Let's look at the no more lockdowns. Mm-hmm. This is what people will get when they go on it and they can sign up. What kind of resources are available on it?
Well, if you go down, just click on updates and events. That's probably the best place to keep us up to date. And hopefully I've updated the cachet recently. I'll put up my thing. So click on that. Boom! Edinburgh flash mob apartheid goes against medical apartheid goes viral. So this was a group that we actually worked with in Edinburgh who wanted some of these yellow signs made up. Now that video at that point had 1,200 views. It's now had about 80,000 views, and it's gone viral. So this is a group that wanted to do like a flash mob against vaccine passports. I think if you click it, it'll take you to Twitter.
It will do.
So, but if you go down a wee bit further as well, there's more. So that's the thing. So as I said, it's just mostly keeping people up to date with everything that's going on and just communicating and. Yeah, click here to read. So what I did was I put out an email blast asking them to retweet, asking them to share it on Telegram to get the message out on Facebook. And it's been that was a huge success. It was viewed everywhere, it was viewed across the world. So and then we'll keep people up to date with how they can get these cards, how they can get leaflets, how they can I've not got the new well, let me just see if they go back again, please. Peter.
Go back where?
Just go back to about updates and events. Yeah. So go to help parents make the right choice for their children. So this is our new leaflet that we're working on, and we've ordered 110,000 of these. And again, with all these leaflets, we don't have any copyright on any of these. People can print them. They can get them printed themselves. So these are, I think, a really good leaflet, a good tool. People can hand them out to parents that they're friends with or schools. And as I said, it really is just simple campaigning, and we have to kind of get back to that. Just look, here's a leaflet, have a read of it and waking people up.
Where, as we're off, actually, the only time I've discussed it with others is discussing with Diana West, and we're looking at American VAERS figures and looking at the UK, the Public Health England, they produce every week. These updates, and looking at the last one, I think 1st of February to middle of September, it might have been, and they talked about 2,500 people supposedly died after being positive for COVID. Out of the 2,500, so like 700 were unvaccinated and about 1,600 were vaccinated. So it works out a 70-30 split. 30% of deaths are people unvaccinated, 70% vaccinated. Of course, that in to me, actually, if that was open and people could discuss it and then someone can put a point of view why that's actually normal and it's no problem, not an issue, then, okay, you can have that discussion. Yeah. But to me, the whole issue that you cannot even discuss those figures, they're not publicly available. You think it would be on the main story on the news at 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock, but it's not.
I think now COVID is just a complete scam now. Mm. Like, I still think maybe in Wuhan a new SARS-type virus did appear and they didn't know what it was. But I just think all these positive tests are all false. The PCR test is false. Yep. Katie Mullis, who invented the PCR test and subsequently died, said that they weren't running at 45 cycles. What they do is a coronavirus can be any different things. These PCR tests pick up a positive test. So again, we talked about this for a long, long time. There's a big difference between testing positive for something and dying as a result of it. So I just think these tests, it's a fake pandemic because these are people who sadly would be dying anyway. And it's maybe pneumonia or flu. They're taking a test. The test is coming back positive because it's part of the agenda. They're saying, well, it's COVID when it probably isn't. And even if you don't subscribe to that, which is fine, let's just say you believe COVID is real. Let's just say you believe it is deadly. It's a killer. It's still not a pandemic. You know what? 4 or 5 million global deaths out of a 7.8 billion population. It's a drop in the ocean. And again, if you look at the mortality rates of these people, and you could, so again, just say like you believe in COVID, you believe it's all really bad. The fundamental truth is these people sadly would be passing away anyway. The average age of death is like, what, 83.4 in this country with a positive COVID test? That's actually higher than the average life expectancy. So it's a scam. Even if you believe the government and everything they're telling you, it's still a scam. Like I would go into a debate and argue that, like gladly, based on their evidence. But then knowing what we know about the PCR tests, about the garbage of it, it's an even bigger scam. So it's just mind-boggling.
And the whole thing of discussing COVID passports, obviously in Wales, and I guess it will come to England, and I know that venues are now able to actually say, well, you need to have a COVID passport. If you don't, then you can't get in. Although it's not law, we can make our own decisions, so screw you. And I saw that in Israel, overnight, 1 million people suddenly find themselves unvaccinated. And again, it's moving the goalpost that to be fully vaccinated is two jabs. Now, to be fully vaccinated in some countries, well, will be three jabs. And then
it's what the regime decides. It's what these ruling, it is what they decide. So as you quite rightly point out, in Israel, 1 million people came off a green pass access because of not taking the boosters. Trudeau has just announced today, if you're over 12, you won't be allowed on planes, ships, or trains. Justin Trudeau is a tyrant and a dictator. Unfortunately, people in Canada voted for him. Whether that was rigged or not is debatable. Yep. Probably was. But even then, the media is just so rigged in these people's favour. So even if it's not mass fraud that's taking place electorally, it is still fraudulent in that the media are acting as propaganda channels for these leaders. And they do it for Trudeau, they do it for Jacinda Ardern, they do it for Drakeford, and they do it for Sturgeon.
No, they do. And it's watching that we had Peter Bystron on, one of the AfD politicians who just got re-elected in the Bundestag. And I was looking at reports, all the reports in English in all the newspapers, and looking at some reports out of Germany, AfD wasn't mentioned in any report. No, so people weren't even given the option of actually the AfD are available. They go to the polls and they haven't heard of the AfD in any of the media. So why would they vote for them?
Correct. Even in the BBC, I was looking at this when they published the results. They never even showed them. At the top, how many seats did they win in the end? I think they did.
Got 10.2, so 82, 83 seats. I mean,
like, so that's not bad.
I know.
And again, that is purely because the media, the thing is as well, what the media have realized is even when they talk about these parties, it's bad. Because yeah. whilst the media think, oh my goodness, look at these racists, they're actually, so what they've decided to do is just stop talking about them.
Yeah.
Because they realize their propaganda doesn't work. And it's actually very interesting. I don't know if you're following France just now, but Marine Le Pen is now being outflanked on the right by a new guy. What's his name? I can't remember his name. He's a
Zemmour.
Yeah, so Marine Le Pen is now too centrist, which it's actually, it just shows you how polarized France is, doesn't it?
Crazy. No, I'm watching that. It's far right Eric Zemmour overtakes Marine Le Pen in poll. So I need to look deeper into that. And obviously Marine Le Pen was polling very well. Everyone hit Macron, but the system will put up someone else that it wants to take over from Macron if Macron's expendable.
Correct. I mean, it's just the media controls the narrative. Who the media decides is going to be the next prime minister is who the media decides. Who the global hierarchy decides. Yep. Who's part of the club? Who's in the World Economic Forum? Who's friends with all the right families? And you know, and again, you know, back to Emmanuel Macron. These are just facts. Emmanuel Macron worked for the Rothschild Bank. Now I know there's a lot of theories about the Rothschild. Some of them may be true. Some of them may be untrue. But I mean, it's just the fact that, you know, he worked for the Rothschild Bank. He came out of nowhere at the last presidential election, founded a new political party called En Marche, and just became president. You know, that's quite rare, isn't it? You know, it's just like, this is the thing. I'm not in the business of giving you definitive answers as to why things are the way they are, because I don't have these definitive answers. But what I'm in the business of, and you are, Peter, and everyone else, is just asking critical questions. Yep. Just saying, well, there's something not right about this.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird.
Doesn't pass a sniff test. Absolutely. No, you're just not allowed to discuss it or question it. You just have to nod and agree to whatever you're placed in front of you. Yeah. The whole on schools, I mean, obviously, you've got those cards that are available, and I'd encourage parents to get that and encourage parents to make sure and email the school, plan ahead, and also you get that form.
We've done that. We distributed 100,000 leaflets, which were legal notices. I don't think I've actually got any here as well, and they got distributed. We also gave people legal notices. And I was seeing a report today, a BBC journalist just put out a tweet saying that the uptake, like a lot of them have been cancelled. They will be, because people know that they shouldn't be doing this. Yeah. They just shouldn't. Even if you believe the COVID narrative, there is zero reason to give these to children. Mm. You could make an argument that you could give them to over 70s. There is no argument whatsoever for kids to have these. The Joint Council for Vaccines and Immunizations also said the same. Chris Whitty overruled them, and all the chief medical officers overruled them.
Well, our line whenever we emailed the school was, we like to follow the science, and the science, according to the JCVI, says, on balance, they don't need it, and therefore we'll stick with the science. We hope you do as well. So we'll say.
Exactly. It's just... I think deliberately they've confused people. Deliberately they've launched this onslaught. People are like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
And it's all been done deliberately. But thankfully it appears the jab rollout amongst 12 to 15s is tiny, which is wonderful. And that is the key to all this. Enough people just turning around and saying, no, we're not doing this anymore. We're not going along with it.
But then the huge concern, looking at, I'm sure you've seen the Project Veritas videos that have come out, and I think on one of them, you had someone possibly from the FDA saying, we'll just go door to door and just say it's your flu vaccine and inject people with COVID. And I think, whoa, are you actually, this is going on in people's minds working in those institutions. And they could say, don't worry, it's flu season rollout and you get something, but will it be a flu vaccine or not?
I mean, here's the thing, Peter, and I know this is a bit harsh. I'm now a full-on anti-vaxxer. I'm not taking a vaccine ever again.
It's true.
See, after all this, the government and the regime have radicalized me over this. See, even a year ago, I would have said, well, you know, most vaccines are fine, they're ultra. I don't trust them at all about anything now. Yeah. I don't trust them about. The more you look into it, the whole vaccine narrative as well is questionable. Yeah. You know, as to whether it was vaccines that ended these viruses or whether it was improvements to public sanitation, to health, to diet. And again, that's a perfectly, I mean, I think on the whole, I would probably say vaccinations have been a good thing. They have lowered mortality. Mm. But again, that's only really based on the studies that Big Pharma want.
Yeah.
You know, and I reckon if you probably studied it the other way, and I think as well, I mean, basically they've seen us now as consumers. They just want you jabbed with everything. So, I mean, if parents decide, I mean, I always before about this, about parents with their kids, it was never any of my business whether parents chose to get their kids jabbed or not. Like, it really wasn't. But, I wouldn't even want to go near a hospital anymore, Peter.
Yeah,
I just wouldn't. I'd rather not, because there's no chance of you dying in there than dying out here.
No, completely. I mean, I remember having Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Andrew Kaufman, Kevin Corbett, Kit Shimran, others, and I was very much, well, I hear what you're saying, but I'm probably more middle of the road. But the more the government have enforced, something doesn't make sense here. So,
Yeah. And like Kate's a good point. I remember when I first came across Kate's stuff, I was like, geez, she's mental. I mean, she still has some more eclectic views, I think would be fair to say, about Kate. But in the reality is she's bang on with most of her stuff. And she's, you know, she's been right on a lot of things. And her diagnosis of how Big Pharma works, the same with Kevin Corbett, his understanding of how these hospitals work, how corrupt it now is, how these big pharmaceutical companies have suppressed they're bang on, you know, and I said this as well to, I was talking to Dr. Kevin the other day on the phone and he was saying, well, it's so great you've done this. I said, well, Kevin, I said, remember, I said, I think it adds more credence that, you know, I didn't just immediately come out and cry, you know, it's taken me a while to reach this position.
And
same as yourself, Peter, you know, if we just immediately came out and went against the narrative, you know, it's a bit like the boy who cried wolf, but we've learned in this process and we've seen with our own eyes how bad this is. And as I say as well, like, I mean, I was always very open-minded to alternative therapies.
Yeah.
I was always very open-minded to things like homeopathy, to better diets. Mm. These have now been crushed. It's like people say homeopathy is just nonsense. Well, even if it is, it helps people.
Yeah,
it's actually, it makes people feel better. What's wrong with that? This what it is like, this is like pure communism where it was, well, religion's the opiate of the masses. Don't do it. Jesus isn't real. Don't believe in a fake God. Well, actually, again, even if it isn't real, it gave people hope. It actually gave people. So this is what's really disgusting about all this is the way in which these authorities, this regime have destroyed anything that gives people hope out with their narrative.
Well, I was looking at getting some multivitamins and stuff from you, and I think it might have been Holden & Barrett, might have been somewhere else, and looking, and on the website it had, in effect, a disclaimer in the middle saying that these tablets that are good for boosting your immune system may not do anything to combat COVID. Really, social distancing is the only thing. And I'm thinking, well, where have we come to where we're saying actually helping your immune system is irrelevant to you getting a virus?
You think about a drug dealer, right? If you and I saw someone, Peter, and they were an emaciated person, they had no veins, would your first reaction be, I want to make money from that person?
Nope. No.
So nope. That is what a drug dealer does, a heroin dealer. Pharmaceutical companies are no different from heroin dealers. They don't care if your immune system is wasted away as nothing. They just want to keep pumping products into your body to make money.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's despicable.
But can I, I'll kind of one or two last point, but what do you think? I'm going to check your conspiracy credentials here. I've looked at, we did a short info video looking at the top five companies, the Pfizer and Sinovac, Moderna.
Biggest fine in corporate history, Pfizer, $2.3 billion for misinformation. Really?
But they, looking at the sales, their projected sales by the end of next year, by the end of 2022, it's around 550, 580 billion. So just over half a trillion dollars. So you could actually say it's just about them making money, but you don't necessarily need to rule it out to kids if kids don't need it. You could just say you need a booster every 3 months and you're going to get billed for that. But why then? And I can understand that argument, if you think a section of society needs the medication. But if the medical recommendation is actually this group doesn't need it, and you say, we're going to inject them anyway, it can't just be about money. So I'm wondering
it's
what
about control. It's about control. It's all about control, in my opinion. It is. I think there is a religiosity to the jabbing. It's like a form of baptism for the kids. You know, people roll up their mask, they roll up their sleeve, your skin is penetrated, it is injected into you. It's almost like a mass. You know, you kneel. I mean, not that of course we've partaken of that, but you kneel, the bread is placed on your tongue, this is the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. It's all about control. It really, really is. It's all about control. And that's why they want everyone to take it. Because if you've not taken it, you've not been baptized. You've not received the sacrament. You're not part of the church. And the modern church is COVID. It is the NHS. That's what it is.
And it probably will be the entry for most Church of England churches, if not others. But that's a whole other.
It is. And you look at the Pope as well. All these churches. There is a religious element to all of this. It really, really is. It's like sort of medieval Catholicism, where the priest was untouchable, despite the fact that, you know, they had a wife and kids. Just don't mention that. You know, being servile, like pushing poverty. Like, one of the big things about the Reformation was Martin Luther turned around and said, why are all these people begging on the streets? This isn't nice. This isn't a happy way to live, because they were actually saying, oh, well, it's good to beg, you know, it's good to have nothing. He's like, well, no, it's not really. And again, that's where a lot of this is. Well, you know, the NHS deserve these discounts. You have to love them. It's very religious. It's weird. You could write novels on it.
Not completely. What are your final thoughts are, and it's a dark question, where those who choose not to receive a injection, where does that leave? Looking at America, you're looking at 100 million people will be forced to get the vaccinations. Where does that leave the rest of us if people choose not to?
I mean, really, whatever decision you make as an adult is yours. And that's always been our policy. We've not provided exemption cards for adults. We've not provided that, because I fundamentally believe, as an adult, as long as you're making an informed choice, that's yours. I am, however, unequivocally 100% opposed to giving these jabs to children. If you choose not to take a medical procedure, to be discriminated, I mean, it's disgraceful what they're doing. Where does it leave you, though? I think you just have to keep going and don't do it. Don't take it. I think this has to be a line in the sand. Like, I can understand sometimes people have to wear a mask to go to their job, or they have to take an occasional test. I would rather they didn't. But if you've got to put food on the table, fine. But if you're going to allow yourself to be jabbed to put food on the table, I'm afraid there is no going back for you. And likewise, if you take that jab to earn privileges, if you go on holiday, there's no going back for you. By all means, if you think it's right for your health and you want to take it and you take that decision fully informed, that's fine. But if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, then it's not going to end well for you, I'm afraid. You have to remain strong and realize that challenges were sent, and you have to deal with these challenges. Other communities will grow, other jobs will come up that you don't have to do it. You know, I've had money, I've been skint, I've been successful, I've not been successful. That's just the cycle of life.
Yeah.
Like, we have to deal with ups and downs. So it's like, again, the concern is, well, I'll lose my house, I'll lose my friends, I'll lose my family. Well, I would rather that didn't happen, but maybe it's not going to be the end of the world. I mean, maybe you would take the AstraZeneca and it would kill you with a blood clot. So think about that.
Exactly.
It's just this fear-based society, and everything is about trying to stop bad things happening. Well, we'll give you this jab. We'll make safe. You can't, like, I'm not advocating that you start going around and, like, fucking picking up snakes and seeing if they bite you or not, or like, that's stupid. But we can't live in a bubble. We have to take risks.
Yeah. And I would encourage our viewers not to partake in the new social credit system that we are all facing. Correct. So hold off. Stand on the sidelines.
Just wait. Once you have taken the vaccine, you can never not untake it. Yeah. However, you can take it any time. Like, I've said this to people about their kids if they're worried. Well, look, just tell them there's no rush on this.
Yeah.
There's no rush. Once you've taken it, you can't untake it. But you can have it anytime you want. Just maybe don't do it today.
Yeah. No, I've always said whenever there is a full data available, looking at, well, a normal vaccine is 12 to 18 years or so. So after 10 years, whenever they have full data, then we can look at that and make a decision. So
as I said, their coercion and what they have done is created a whole army of anti-vaxxers. If I was advising the government and advising this, say I was actually at the World Economic Forum and at the Davos set, you know, and everything was great.
Bilderberg group.
I'd actually say, guys, look, we've jabbed everyone. Let's just leave it. Leave the kids, because that'll just piss people off. Let's not go too far. But they couldn't, because these people are psychos. They're like murderers. It's like a murderer who's got away with 10 murders. They just can't resist the urge. Well, I could probably get away with it one more time. It's these people's egos and their insatiable thirst for wrong. It's like they're psychos. We're dealing with psychos. Because, as I said, they should have just said, well, look, let's just leave the kids, because that's a bit too far. But they couldn't even do that.
Yeah, no, completely. On that, I think we will leave it. David, it's very good to chat. Good to catch up. Good to have your thoughts on this. And I know you cover news every day, so I know that puts you in an informed position, actually, to touch on these issues. So thank you so much.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Peter. And it is a fair point. Like, I live and breathe this.
Yeah.
So I'm on it all the time. And if you think about the most people now just read a headline because their lives are so busy. And again, the media know this. They couldn't have done this 20 years ago, the globalist takeover. They couldn't have got away with it, but they know now they can. And they're doing it.
Yeah. All you need is a one line of death, daily death figure, and that's enough. That's enough.
Yeah. People are dying. That was Greta Thunberg saying, people are dying. Well, Greta, I hate to have to break it to you, sweet cheeks, but it's kind of the only certainty we have in life.
Exactly. We all die and we need to get over our fear of it, live our lives, and it'll happen eventually. I know,
because you're getting to the stage now where life is unlivable. Yeah, life is the, like, no wonder suicides are, and I would hate anybody to feel in that place, but it's no surprise that suicides are at record highs. Young people taking their own lives, sinking into depression, mental health. They are making life unlivable for most people.
Exactly. Well, can I, our viewers, make sure you do go to uninewsnetwork.co.uk, and you're on Twitter. Are you on Gab? Are you on Getter?
We're on what Gab as well. Yeah, we're on Gab, Unity News Network. Yeah. We're on LinkedIn as well. Like, on our website and our articles, we try and keep it pretty, like, high-end stuff, like, simple. If you want to really get in further, watch the shows, because that's when we have a conversation about it. And I also update Telegram, Twitter with videos during the day as well. So yeah, the website's a great source of information. There's also a brilliant opinion section as well on the website. We get a lot of people sending in brilliant opinions. Please check that out. There's some really, really good stuff there.
Okay. There's a lot for people to go looking at. I'm sure most of our viewers will have come across Uni News Network. If you haven't, then go and check them out. And as David says, 8 o'clock will be a program where you can have more wisdom from Mr. Cluth himself. Just to finish off with our viewers, thank you for joining once again. Obviously, our platforms where we are available on social media, the video platforms are all available at heartsvoke.org/find us. You can get the list off them there. This will be after we said piss off to YouTube and Facebook. This will be on all the other platforms. So thank you for following us on those. It's always good fun whenever we are on the mainstream ones, then leave them. It's always fun to see actually a bump on the other ones as people do move over. So thank you
and
for
what,
that.
What another thing is as well, what people need to get into the habit of is like the good old days in the internet. Remember, you used to go in www. I mean, you don't even need to do that now. People have to learn to start visiting websites directly again to learn to do that. Not just looking what Facebook, like, this is the other thing about Facebook and Twitter. You go onto Twitter, you are looking at what Twitter has decided for you to see. It used to be a timeline. It used to be when things were done. Now it's all algorithms. It's all, so don't rely on Facebook and Twitter to give you the news, because they're giving you what they want you to see.
Yeah, or Google. Don't rely on searching Google for your information. You'll get pages of stuff before you get what you're looking for.
Correct.
So get informed, find out the websites to go to, and use those for your information instead of asking Google, tell me, because Google won't tell you, or won't tell you what you're looking for, give you something completely different.
Don't Be Evil was the Google strategy, was the name. That lasted, didn't it?
True. They adopted their anti-strategy, so they took it on board. So thank you, David. Thank you to our viewers. And we will see you or hear you. If your viewers have been watching on the platforms or listening on Podbean, any of the other podcasting platforms, thank you for that. As always, do drop us an email, info@heartsofoak.org. Let us know how you're finding those. And if you, after you sign up to nomorelockdowns.uk and after you go to Uni News Network, if you don't get our weekly emails, do make sure and go to heartsofoak.org/connect and click on that tab at the top, put in your email, and you get their weekly emails. So thank you very much to our viewers.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list, donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsofoak.org. Thank you for listening.